You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So much going on. Mets and the Braves, by the way, rained out tonight. Yankees and the Marlins. Yankees go for their fifth in a row. They try to sweep the Marlins. Tomorrow's an off day. Then they go to Cleveland and Toronto. So a six-game road trip. All things coming up. Roses for the Yankees. Anthony Volpe is going to be leading off, so that's a little bit of a change. He's hitting 375, doing everything right, also runs the bases well. So he's a prototypical leadoff man when he's getting on base, which he didn't do last year. This year he is. Gleyber Torres has been slumping, so that's the move. I understand it. Marcus Stroman is third start of the year. He's yet to give up an earned run. He's 1-0, pitched very, very well, and this Marlins team is not very good. Knicks with a big win yesterday against the Bulls. The Milwaukee Bucks might have lost Antetokounmpo for a bit. Calf injury, they've ruled out an Achilles. That's intact. But remember one thing. Somebody brought this up to me earlier, Don. Remember with Durant, they said it was just a calf.
Yeah.
And then he rested, and then he played in the championship, and it ripped. I mean, it's all connected, and you hope that that's not the case. So I would think that Milwaukee, which hasn't been playing well anyway, they're going to fall out of the two spot. The Knicks are probably, if they continue, I mean, if they beat the Celtics and they beat the Bulls again, they're probably going to finish in the second spot. And we said this earlier. I don't know if that's the best thing in the world, because that means that they're going to face Philly or the Heat.
Right.
Philly with Embiid, the Heat being the Heat. Is that the best place to finish, or is it best for them to finish third and play? Who would they play if they finish third?
If they finish third, it would be Indiana.
The Pacers.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Halliburton's, you know, he's a handful, but I take my chance playing the Pacers rather than the Sixers with Embiid or the Heat being the Heat.
It's so odd because as you go up the standings, I think the matchups become easier. So right now the 8th seed is Miami. And if they finish as the 2 seed, that's the potential matchup if the Heat end up beating Philadelphia to get in.
Right, cuz then they would be the 7th seed.
Right. Exactly. So that would be the worst matchup to me. Second worst would be Philly. Third worst would be Indiana. Fourth would be Cleveland. And fifth would be the Magic. That climbs right up the standings. Like, the better the team in the conference is, I think, the better matchup. It's. I brought this up before the meeting. I came in early to have lunch. I think it's an easy answer for the East, but not necessarily for the NBA. In the East, do you take the Celtics or the field?
The Celtics.
Right. Would you take them for the NBA?
No. There's too many good teams in the West.
But really, it's only Denver.
No. Minnesota's a beast. Oklahoma City is good.
I know, but they don't have any pedigree either, Michael.
But you know what? You're asking me. I think that West teams could knock off the Celtics. I don't think any team in the East could. If any team in the East beats the Celtics, I'd be shocked.
Yes.
If Denver beats the Celtics, I'm not surprised at all.
Because this is not to disrespect the Knicks if they finish second, but they finish second only because of Giannis would be hurt. And let's be honest, Michael. Doc Rivers has not worked. They're worse off.
They're much worse than they were with Griffin.
They should have just left everything alone, and then I think they would be fine. Maybe not enough to win a championship, but obviously bringing Doc Rivers has not worked. So that opens it up, and then you've got a bunch of teams that probably feel as good about their chances as the Knicks should. Now, the difference is if the Knicks were healthy, Michael, I think they'd clearly be the second-best team in the conference behind Boston. But they aren't hurt. They are compromised without Randle because at the end of the day, when this team gets into the playoffs, and this is what scares me, Michael, as much as I believe in this Knicks team, are they going to be able to find secondary scoring if you get a good defensive team with a good coach that will commit themselves to shut down Brunson? Where are you getting those other extra points?
There's so much pressure then on DiVincenzo to shoot 40% from three. And let's see if he could do that. Anunoby is going to have to do some scoring. Hart's going to have to do some scoring. They're going to have to really share the wealth, so to speak, because as great as I think Brunson is, and we said this earlier, I think he's in the top five in the NBA in MVP voting. I don't think he's scoring 45 points a game in the playoffs.
No.
And when you're in a seven-game set and they can make adjustments and their whole thought process is on stopping you, it's not like, okay, you're playing this team and they're playing somebody in 2 days. They will spend a week and a half trying to stop Brunson. I think other people have to step up, and that's where you're going to feel the loss of Julius Randle.
And it's scary, Michael, because you're talking about averaging 40 points a game. That's close to it. So if he gives you, say, 25, you're going to have, that's 15 that you're going to have to pick up. Now, I think on any given night, someone can do that. Although I think OG's more a better defender. He can shoot, but I don't know if he can compensate for that kind of loss in points. Same thing with DiVincenzo. If he's hot from three, yes. If he's cold from three, then absolutely not. So that's going to be the conundrum for this Knicks team. And the other thing I wanted to bring up to you, and this is completely unfair, but I think it's worth bringing up because the expectations are so high. When was the last time you've been really honestly and truly impressed with a Knicks win?
I'm trying to think. Well, when they blew out Denver at home.
That was a while ago.
But that was impressive.
That was impressive.
And Denver was at the end of a long trip. But, you know, you got to give your flowers when they have to be given
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
They destroyed the defending champs.
And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying that we're holding them to a different standard because once you get to the playoffs, Michael, it's every night it's a quality opponent. Even if it ends up being a team that you want to face, like the Magic of the Cavaliers, it's quality. I mean, good on them beating the Bulls. The Bulls are not good. Donovan's done a good job with them, but they're not a great team. They obviously beat a compromised Milwaukee team that's under 500 since Doc Rivers got there, and then clearly Giannis wasn't 100%. And all right, were you impressed with the win over the Kings? And the Kings have the same record as them. That you could be impressed by the way they came back in the game, but is that an overly impressive win at home against the Kings?
Yeah, but they won. We shouldn't worry about style points.
Absolutely. But once we get to the playoffs, Michael, every night, every other night, it's a quality opponent. And obviously, in a series, it's the same opponent. So it'll be interesting. I think what they're doing is terrific. But it's going to be a different level once they get to the playoffs. I think they're made to have a run here. I think what's happening at MSG, it could be pretty special. I don't know if it's going to be 94 level, but I think it's going to be pretty special.
But here's my biggest concern, though, Don. If they finish second, they could get knocked out in the first round.
But the Knicks are the one thing that you worry about because you got a series against Miami, you got a series against Philadelphia. Can they win? Yes. But how much is it going to take out of them to get out of that first round? Like you said, the Magic, I think they could take care of the Magic. And I think they can take care of the Magic in short order. They seem to have the Cavaliers' number in a big spot. I think the Pacers, are they good enough defensively to shut down Brunson? They can score, but can they shut him down? But you get Miami, you get Philadelphia with a healthy Embiid. And I know Knicks fans will say, well, Don, look what they've done against Philadelphia. And they did beat the Sixers with Embiid in Philadelphia before he got hurt. But with all the work this team has done, God, what an unfair first-round matchup, right? Miami or Philadelphia.
And it's unfair because let's say you do the unthinkable and you finish second, you're going to get penalized for finishing second rather than get an advantage.
And the thing is, Michael, the way Thibodeau is, they're going to play for second.
Of course,
I don't think he knows how to dial it down. I don't know if you want them to, because that's their
MO. But here's
MO.
The problem, Don. You can't take your foot off the pedal because you don't want to finish in the play-in either. That's still a possibility.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they can win tomorrow because the Celtics have nothing to play for.
Yep.
And then you got the Nets. No offense to the Nets, but they're not very good now. You should be able to win that game.
You mean
I'm just saying it is what it is. You know, so they should be. They very easily can win the next two. And then you put yourself in a situation where now are you going to tank a game to avoid the two? Thibodeau's not going to let that happen.
Now, the other team, Madison Square Garden, they lose yesterday. And the Islanders win. So it's good for the Islanders, who are trying to nail down a playoff spot. The Rangers are still trying to get the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and the President's Trophy in the entire NHL. And it was 3-2, and an empty netter made it 4-2.
Yeah.
But that's a big, big win for the Islanders, and a little controversy as well with a hit that you know Peter Laviolette thought was dirty on the Islanders' side, and nobody else agrees with him. And I wonder if he's going to back off at all, because nobody in the world agrees with him.
Yeah, none of the players did either. Everybody kind of just treated it as just an accident, which it looked like. The thing that he really should be upset about is the non-call on Dobson at the end of the game when the Rangers had the goalie pulled, the cross-check that wasn't called. But if it had been called, it was like 30 seconds left, but still it should have been called. And Dave went apoplectic after the game, which was terrific to hear. But even Dave thought it was just an accidental collision, Mika and Pelech. So I'm not really sure what the ulterior motive was for Laviolette. I mean, he's a great coach, Michael, so he doesn't do anything on a whim. I'm just going to go under the assumption that he will see it again and maybe back down. They were off today, so he didn't speak to the media. He'll speak before the game tomorrow against Philadelphia, but maybe by then it'll be a non-story. But Rangers are good, man. But there's still some things to clean up. Bad starts have been a bit of a problem over
Isn't
the last
few weeks.
Isn't
that weird, though? I mean, we're so close to the end of the season, and we're still looking to clean stuff up.
Well, but this is what happens when you're held to a standard of winning a championship.
Right.
You know, if you're just, hey, happy to be in, then there isn't anything really to clean up. But you're held to a standard of trying to win a championship. You're first in 30 years. You want to do that? You got to play better in the first period. You want to do that? You got to play better 5-on-5. There's things that need to be cleaned up. They've got 3 games in which to do it. But you saw last night when they're on the power play how good it is. Kreider scores a goal. Fox scores a goal. 3-0 becomes 3-2. They owned the Islanders in the third period. They just could not crack the code on Varlamov. Good on the Islanders to get the win. I want to see them make the playoffs. I want both these teams to be able to make the playoffs and possibly meet each other in the second round. That'd be awesome. Panarin had another point. That's a point in 10 straight games. I thought Shesterkin played well despite giving up the 3 goals in the first period. Rangers are right there to win the President's Trophy and getting a better match. I don't want to say easy because that's insulting. A better matchup in the first round. Because as much as the Knicks want to avoid the Heat or the Sixers in the first round, Rangers want to avoid the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. So get a Washington team. Get a Detroit team. Have the Islanders finish in third. Get the Penguins. Get the Red Wings. Get the Flyers. Get the Capitals in the first round. And finally, maybe get a situation where you can actually get to that second round matchup, likely against the Hurricanes or maybe the Islanders, and be a rested team so you can make a run. Because this team is poised to win a cup, Michael. Unlike the Knicks, where we can say style points for getting out of the second round or whatever, this Knick team, this Ranger team, I think you'd be disappointed if they don't win the cup. Honestly, if they win the President's Trophy, Michael, why shouldn't you have those aspirations?
Absolutely, you should. They didn't change coaches because they just wanted to make the playoffs.
Yeah. So when you're the best team in the regular season, and you look at how things may lay out, and how this team has played, and how this goaltender has played recently, and you look at the West, that's 4 rounds from now. But you know, Dallas—they won both games against Colorado. They've beaten Dallas this year. They've beaten Edmonton this year. That you got to feel real good about making a run. But you know how hockey is. You can win a Stanley Cup and you can get beat in the first round. Just ask the Boston Bruins. So that's why I say about cleaning things up, Michael, because you can always be better.
Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike, what do you got?
Michael Dunn, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up? How are you?
Good, yeah. I want to talk about the Knicks. I know what you guys are saying, that you want to, maybe they want to avoid the Heat, maybe avoid the Sixers. But you know what? At the end of the day, their job is to win their last 3 games of the season. And wherever they finish, they finish. Oh, yeah. No matter if it's the second or third seed. And
couldn't agree with you more.
And you know what? That's why, even at any sport, I hate saying, oh, I'd rather play this team, that team. Because, you know what? Be careful what you wish for. The Pacers, hey, they gave some Knicks some problems this year, too. Now, yeah. I'm not saying they're the Heat or the Sixers, but any team you play in the playoffs is going to be good. And with how tight it is, what, you want them to lose the last game to try to get the third?
No. We're not saying that.
We're just playing the what-if right. game. If they finish second, it might be. But you're absolutely right, Mike. You got to win. And Don said it best. Thibodeau doesn't play that game.
No,
he won't. He doesn't know how to keep his foot off the pedal.
No, and that's what is so unique about this Knick team. That's their style. But I'm sorry, it's a reality. Yeah, you want to finish as high as you can, and I think that's the way they're going to play it. But yeah, do you really, in all your heart, do you really want to play Philadelphia or Miami in the first round? Even if you think you can beat them, Do you really want that kind of a test in the first round for a team that you want to try to get rested and try to make a run? That's a tough. That's a real tough draw, man.
Let's go to John and Mahwah. John.
John. Hey guys, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I love the Would You Wednesday, and I'm kind of feeling for Michael, and I think distilled Michael's angst down for Don, and Don, due respect to you, but I think you've done this a couple of times in the past. So when Michael asks those questions, first of all, you do very well. You're not destitute, and oftentimes you'll say, well, look, if I was destitute. He's not asking you, would you cheat on your wife or whatever? And by the way, I think the whole cheating on the wife thing needs to go. But he's not saying, would you do it for $50,000? He's saying, would you do it for $250 million or $500 million or a billion? Because I think you've done it in the past where you said, nah, I'm good. And I also have a would you if you want to wait for it. But I think, Don, I think you take it to a hyperbole to say, look, I do okay with myself. I'm not going to cheat on my wife. It's not $50,000 or $100,000. It's life-changing money for you, your children, your grandchildren.
But you're missing the point.
And we get the guilt part.
But you just can't ignore that, because this is somebody that's in my life, and so you don't understand like how awkward it would be to know that that's a secret I'm keeping from her. Now if Michael asked the question that I can go to Nancy and say, Nancy, listen, here's the offer, and she says, by all means, do it, then there is no guilt. The guilt lies not so much, Michael, in sleeping with Nancy's best friend. It's the secret. It's having to keep it to myself, knowing that lie is out there. Where did you get this money? Well, I won the lottery, or I got a bonus at ESPN. I don't want to have to live that lie. It would eat at me, honestly. Now, if I was destitute, then I'd have to live with that guilt to save my family. But not being in a position to have to save my family, you can't understand that lie that I'd have to live with would eat at me?
I mean... If you're saying that it would eat at you, I've got to agree with you. But it's something that your wife will never know. You're telling me for $250 million, but you could not live with guilt.
But the money's kind of irrelevant. It's
why?
Just because I now have to live a lie.
But you're not living a lie. She's never going to know. There's no way she'll ever know.
But how am I going to tell her?
Even if you make up a fakakta excuse about the $250, she will never know. But that's part of the game.
But part of the guilt is, now I got to come up with a cocked lie, as you put it, and I got to live with that lie and continue to tell that lie for the rest of my life to her.
But you don't have to do anything. You can just say, I got it from work. Boom. And she's going to accept it because that's part of the deal.
The only thing
you have to live with is that you know you slept with your wife's best friend, and she knows. But your wife will never know.
But you make it seem like I can easily explain away $250 million. Michael, she's been with me every second of the time I've been at ESPN. It's not conceivable that I got a $250 million bonus from ESPN.
But you're not playing the game the right way. It is conceivable in the game. Let's go to D in Albany. D.
Steve.
What's your name? Hello? Whatever your name is, you're on. Go.
I don't know what he was saying. And you wouldn't have liked what he had to say anyway.
He said that I'll tell you what it said on the computer so everybody knows. Michael's lying about the answer. No, I'm not. I'm actually being honest.
I got to tell you, the one thing Michael does not do is lie. He will do a lot of things.
And I don't do stuff for radio. Jody would laugh at me if I turned down $250 million. Laugh.
But she'd be red hot if you kept it from her. If she ever did find out.
I wouldn't keep it from her. The way the rule of the game is, she'd never know.
I know the rules, Michael.
Yeah, but you know what? You're not playing. That's why the game is ended today. It's died on the vine.
But you know what's so funny, Anthony? Is that everything that bothers him right now about the game is why the game works. If I go, oh, Michael, that's great. I agree with you. We would have moved on, and it would have been kind of a dud day. It's lived for like the Latin. The next, it was 3:45. We did this.
Well, let's put it this way, Don. We're all adults here. I guess it didn't work very well. One of the guys on the show, I'm disengaged. He wasn't even listening. So it's run its course.
if you know what, you're a really bad person.
Why? Is that what he said?
No.
I checked out. That was the quote. I just checked out.
I get it, but it's so wrong of you to use that as an example on why would you didn't work. It's you know what? Michael's not going to take this as a compliment, but it's a compliment. He's like the Al Davis Oakland Raiders. Just win, baby.
You're the one who told me, and you've drilled it into my head over 22 years, I just want to make good radio. I don't care who I hurt. Those are your words.
That's why I said it's a compliment. Your quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard.
Let's go to Jerry, I guess it's Cedar Grove. What's up, yes. Jerry?
Hey, Don, you're going to like this one. Okay, let's turn it back on Michael. What would you do? But your wife's best friend is a man.
Oh, wow.
If she did it?
No, you.
No, you.
No, I'm heterosexual. Why would I do that?
Because it's $250
million. Yeah, but I'm not crossing that line.
Wow.
I'm just not doing that.
And I don't want to cross the guilt line.
Well, you know, my line's a lot thicker than your line.
Well, only because you make it thicker.
All right, so let me ask you, what if Nancy's best friend was a guy? There'd be no guilt. She wouldn't care.
It'd still be guilt.
What's the guilt?
Because, again, you don't listen. It's keeping the truth from her.
You like starting this, don't you, Jerry?
Jerry, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Wow, you're like, this was gasoline. You just walked by with a cigarette. I love what you did there.
Well, good job, Jerry. Let's go to Mike in New City. What's up, Mikey?
I think the whole debate on the hockey, you know, extra time with the penalties, Don, you know it better than anyone else. So basically hockey has every score sheet incorrect then with every penalty that occurs under 2 minutes. Because they'll list it as a 2 minute penalty, whether it's 19-10 into the game, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But what if you just did it like soccer? Soccer say they play 90 minutes, but everyone knows if you watch a soccer game, there's extra time all the time added on.
Right. Well, I'm with you. But when they put 2 minutes down, it's not that 2 minutes was served. It's that's how much that penalty was worth, because each different penalties have
different
worth.
But Mike is saying, like, if there's a minute 50 left, to play a minute 50. But, Mike, what I said earlier, I don't know if you heard, well, what happens in that extra minute 50, the last 10 seconds of that, somebody tackles somebody. And then, I mean, we could go on ad infinitum.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the penalty time that you took. Unfortunately, just like with soccer, there could be 20 penalties in that 45 minutes, whatever it is, but and they're going to add that on to the end.
But what I like about your idea, and soccer's a bad comparison because we don't know. It's hypothetical when it's going to end because we don't see the clock. They keep it still. The clock would still be up there. The length of the penalty would then become the clock. So at least you know when the game's going to end. Problem I have with soccer is we don't know. It feels arbitrary because they don't show the clock. At least under your idea, the penalty would represent how much time was left in the game.
And I don't want to kill the most popular sport in the world. And people think, Andrew Gunling used to laugh at me. The fact that you don't know how much time is left, it's just a mystery. In soccer, it ruins the game for me.
It
ruins the game. Oh, we don't know how much time. Let's guess.
I don't like it. And you know what? It leaves room for impropriety. I'm sorry.
Yes, it does.
It just does.
Well, what you're saying and what Mike said makes sense. Okay, it's a minute 50 more.
Right.
So you put that on the clock. It's a minute 50.
Not, all right, we're going to play until the official feels like we've exhausted every scoring opportunity and we can now blow the whistle. I'm sorry. I'm not knocking soccer, and it's been explained to me like I'm a 5-year-old that it's always been the way. It doesn't have to be. We have the technology to know exactly how much time is left. I do not understand the service you do to the fans of not knowing whether the game is going to end or not. And then, they've even admitted, Andrew used to admit to me, if they see a play is developing, they'll let it play out. Can you imagine that happening in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final? Well, you know, Panarin's on a breakaway. The clock expired, but let him take the shot anyway. See what happens.
And then here's the best part. The fans accept it like sheep. Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know how much time, but I'll play along. And then when you don't like it, the soccer aficionados think you're adult.
Right, yeah.
They think you're a complete cretin. You just don't understand. It's the beautiful game. It stinks.
No, you're,
if you don't know when the game ends, it stinks.
Because you know what? You are in a you're in an abusive relationship. You don't like it, but you love the sport so much you're afraid to criticize
right.
it.
Right. I'll accept it because, boy, you might take it away from me. Take it away. If you're not going to tell me when a sport ends, imagine you didn't know how many innings a game was, then that the Angel Hernandez in inning 7, oh, by the way, it's over. Or inning 11, it's over, and there was no warning, and the players had no warning, and they didn't know, should we have urgency? And in soccer, oh, please, give us more. Treat us as poorly as you want. Even Ted Lasso can't figure it out. Please, please, hurt me. We'll be back.
Peter, that's me. New York, that's you. Let's talk Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. All right? Did you hear about their 30 for 30 sale? Come get some. You could take up to 30% off MSRP during the next 30 days on a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee 4XE or the Gladiator or Wagoneer or Grand Wagoneer, all up to 30% off MSRP. Go visit Michelle Scalisi during their Jeep celebration event and come get some.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a little pinstripe report here brought to you by Bet365. Did you know, Don, that on this date in 1913, something happened to the Yankee franchise?
I would say on this date in 1913
it's 10 years after it became an official franchise.
Now, right. So they started out as the New York Hilltoppers. So I'm assuming in 2013 is when they became officially the New York Yankees, 1913.
They officially took the name as the first game as the Yankees. They've been called the Americans, the Hilltoppers, or the Highlanders. They didn't really have an official name. But then, you know, they were called Yankees sometimes in the newspaper. Then it was officially adopted as the name of the team. So this is the first day in 1913 that they were officially the Yankees. Yankees are 10-2, tied with three other teams in franchise history for the best 12-game start. Now, only one other Yankee team has ever been 11-2. So if the Yankees win tonight, they get to that lofty mark. And that was in 2003, Don. They went on to start the season at 18-3, and they finished with 101 wins. They went to the World Series, and then they ended up losing to the Marlins, ironically enough. So they could tie that start with a win tonight. So tonight they have Marcus Stroman going against the Marlins. That was a Pinstripe Report brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to... Drew in New Paltz. Drew.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you guys?
What's up?
Hey, so I got a Ranger point. I'm a big Rempe fan. I mean, who isn't? I think they look softer when Rempe's healthy scratched. I think that what happened last night to Trocheck, maybe not Zibanejad, because I don't think that was dirty, but what happened to Trocheck doesn't happen if Rempe's on the ice.
First of all, Rempe wouldn't be on the ice with 30 seconds to go down a goal. It was at the end of the game.
I agree.
I
agree.
Well, now, who are you taking out? You're putting Rempe in. Who are you taking out?
But Brzezinski's the fourth liner for him? Am I right or am I wrong?
Well,
like,
but I think he adds speed. It really depends who you're playing, Drew, because I agree with you. I think having Rempe there as a physical presence, say, against a Florida would probably be important, a big, thick team. But if you're playing a team that's playing a little bit more of a wide-open style, I might want Brzezinski in there because he's quicker. You know, so I don't necessarily disagree with you, Drew. Last night's a bad example. That was a desperate team trying to hold on to a point, hold on to 2 points at the end of the game. But to say they're softer without Michael, I love Rempe. I love what he brings to the table. But once you get to the playoffs, man, you've got to be able to prove that you can play. And you got to put the best guys on the ice and matchups. And there's just certain teams that you're probably not going to have him out there in a big spot. I think against a Florida team, you probably would want him out there. I don't know if you're going to want him out there against maybe Detroit. Maybe you'd want him out there against Washington because of Wilson, but don't use last night. Michael, there was 30 seconds left. I mean, that was going to happen. You could have had Bob Probert on the team. That play was still going to happen.
Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Rhode Island.
Steve. Hey, Steve.
Yes, hi guys. I've been a Ranger fan. Sorry about the sore throat. I've been a Ranger fan since the 60s. Thank you. I've been a Ranger fan since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jacob Trouba's out of the lineup, we are a better team.
11-2.
Exactly. Well, anyways, Anders Lee skated right by him at the beginning of the game last night. And when he got suspended, all we did was win. When he got hurt for 3 weeks, I told my son, all we're going to do is win now with him out of the lineup. You should put Zach Jones in there, and DeAndre Miller's a much better player, not playing with Trouba, but playing with Snyder. They look terrific when Trouba was out of the lineup. With him in the lineup, all he does is wave his stick around. He doesn't play any defense, and we give up 4 or 5 goals a game with him in the lineup to Pittsburgh and whoever. We're a much better team with Trouba out of the lineup.
Well,
we traded Callahan. We traded McDonough. We traded captains. I know we can't trade him, but you can bench him. Say he's got an injury. Put Zach Jones in there. They looked terrific when he was suspended.
I get it, but Zach Jones has never played in the postseason before. The numbers don't lie, Michael. They're 11-2 with Trouba out of the lineup. It's
incredible. All
right,
so the numbers don't lie. Tell me why. Why?
Listen, because I just think it's circumstances. He's not the greatest defender, but he also hits. He's experienced. He gives you a little bit of an offensive flair. He's worked well with Miller. But you know what? Schneider's played very well with Miller as well. So late in games, maybe there's certain situations where you take a little bit of the minutes away from Trouba. But he's also a captain. He hits like a Mack truck. He changed the series against Pittsburgh when he knocked Crosby out, Michael. I mean, I think people look at that and say, oh, look, we're 11-2. Zach Jones never played in the postseason before. And now I'm going to try to win a cup with him as my third pair. Listen, the numbers are there, so there's always going to be a lot of conversation about Trouba being out because they were 11-2 without him. But, Michael, it's a very, very good team. With Trouba in the lineup, they're on their way to winning the President's Trophy.
Right.
I mean, listen, there are times he leaves a little bit to be desired defensively, and I'm sure Peter Laviolette will figure out late in games how to make that work. But let's not make it seem like he doesn't contribute anything. He was playing. He was playing on your second power play. He hits. He can change games that way. And he's also, by the way, the captain of your team.
Yeah, that throws a little wrinkle into it. Kevin in East Windsor. Kevin.
Hey guys, good afternoon. Love the show. I hate to wreck all the hockey talk because I'm not a giant hockey cam guy, but I wanted to set the record straight on the soccer extra time.
Okay.
It's not arbitrary. The fourth official is keeping track of the time. And in hockey, the whistle blows.
Wait, Kevin, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So the fourth official is keeping track. The fans don't know.
Yeah.
Fans have no idea.
We have the technology, Kevin. Well, get with it. No, I'm being honest.
The fourth guy has a clock that says how much time is left. Why can't that be superimposed on the scoreboard?
Yeah.
Why are the fans in the dark?
Good question. I don't have the answer. I do know this. I know this because I work as a television cameraman. TV knows a good 3 minutes before we get to 90 minutes how much time there's going to be. So it's not a complete secret.
Well, but I don't know why keeping it from everybody makes sense. And I always hate, no matter what the conversation is, well, that's always the way it's been. Well, you know, people evolve. Things change. I'm sure soccer had no choice before they had digital clocks and they were doing things by hand. But now we have the technology. In every other sport that's timed, a guy gets hurt, they stop the clock, the official signals, start the clock back up once he's dragged off the field, let's play. I don't get how it benefits anybody, Michael. I don't understand. We have the technology now.
I never understood, and then when you say it, you look like the rube because, oh, you just don't get this great sport. No, I don't.
We don't.
And I don't. I prefer not to get it because I don't want to be kept in the dark about the ending of the game.
Well, listen, it's not my favorite sport, but that's not my motivation behind it. I mean, there's a lot of things that bug me about other sports, too. This bugs me about soccer, and it just seems it's easily correctable. And the whole idea, well, that's always the way that it's been. Well, we look at Major League Baseball. They play without helmets. They played without African Americans. They played with the DH. Things change. We evolve. They got a clock in baseball now, people. Wake up!
Adam Schefter reporting that ESPN has reached a 9-year media rights extension with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions, extending the partnership into 2034.
That's 10 years.
Yeah.
Now, so did you, forgive me, Michael, you told a funny story about Eli on the air, right?
Yeah.
About the
Manning money. So about the Bruno Cucinelli jacket.
So his response, he knew that in the back of his head.
Oh, yeah. But I wonder how much Eli gets, because this is Peyton's company, Omaha Productions. So it continues the Manning cast. Doesn't say it continues it for all 9 years, but it also continues Omaha content such as Peyton's Places and Eli's Places.
Listen, it works.
Yeah, the K-Rod thing didn't get a 9-year extension.
But that wasn't your fault.
No, it was Alex leaving for an exclusive deal with Fox.
I still think there's something that could work. You know, Alex is not the only person that can analyze baseball in real time.
But K-Rod, it just rolled off the tongue.
So you do shows, you make shows based on how funny the name
is? Oh, absolutely. I mean, K-Cohn, that doesn't sound funny.
It does. Where's
the funny there? Like, ham is not funny. Ham sandwich is funny.
This guy... But Cone is so good.
He's great, but he's on the main show. Here's what I think the thing is with Peyton. See if you agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could be ticking a lot of people off. You lock him up for 9 more years after this. Maybe somewhere in those 9 years, Troy Aikman says, I'm done. Peyton Manning would be the best color analyst in football.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Oh, I think he'd be unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm being honest. I really don't know. I mean, you have a strange way of trying to figure out why people would be good or not. I think there's a certain kind of chemistry that you have to be a good analyst. And it's not always about the knowledge or being a good speaker or being well-read. It's just that there's a dance to it. It's like play-by-play in a sense. There's some very good announcers, Michael, that just don't make great play-by-play guys because they just don't have the cadence down. Like, I don't know if, as funny as he is, as engaging as he is, I don't know if that necessarily translates into being a really good analyst.
I think it would. I really do, because he is funny. I think being an analyst, if you're just dry, it's not perfect. You have to have some kind of humor and levity. And I think he'd be perfect at it. I mean, why is he's the white whale that everybody chases? ESPN caught him, but he's the white whale.
But they don't put any thought into it. They just look at the name.
No, I'm not. I think Tom Brady's going to be terrific.
But
I'm not as sure as I would be about Peyton.
But the thing is, Michael, if it was about being good at it, then why wouldn't there be an audition? Why wouldn't you work your way up like everybody else did back in the day? They're just taking flyers on guys. Because
they are, but they're taking a chance on a name and a fame, But, I mean, there are certain things that point out that they'd be good. I mean, first of all, he's great on the Madden cast. I know you're good and you don't watch it that much. But he's good on it, and he breaks down plays, and he predicts plays. He is what everybody thought Tony Romo was becoming.
I just think that there's a certain magic you have to have. I don't know if he'll have it or not. I wasn't sure Aikman would have it. I think Aikman's the best.
Aikman's terrific.
But there was no indication by anything, by how he dealt with the media or any of the things he did off the field, that gave you any indication that Troy would be this good.
You know who's going to be the best baseball guy? Ohtani, because he's got a lot of words torn up. He hasn't used those words. Nobody's asked him questions. Nobody's allowed to ask questions. So when he finally opens up, oh, is he going to be terrific?
I love it.
Terrific. We'll come back. More of your phone calls. Big ENN coming up as well on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hey guys, Peter Rosenberg here to tell you about my friends over at Bath Fitter. They did my bath, did a hell of a job. Customized it for my needs, process easy, one expert installer, done in a day, no demo, no mess. And Bath Fitter is a permanent, high quality solution with a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers just like me. For a limited time, get 0% interest to save $500 on a complete Bath Fitter system. Start designing your bath today like I did at bathfitterdesign.com. There's only one Bath Fitter.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Every big player in baseball, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mike Trout, every one of them should say, we're not talking to the media. Then we'll see if Major League Baseball actually steps up and goes, well, it's part of people's contract. You have to talk to me. Then why isn't it being enforced with Ohtani? Why do I have to spend my time talking to the media if he doesn't? And you know how I feel. Everybody should talk to the media because, in essence, that's how you talk to the fans. The fact that one guy gets away with it, every other big star in baseball should draw a line in the sand. If he's not talking, we're not talking. And then Major League Baseball will not be getting any publicity for their stars. They'll finally wake up and they'll force Ohtani to talk. I think I won the week already, Don, and it's Wednesday.
That's sweet.
I feel very good about it, but I don't think anyone's had a clean sweep, so I've got some big opinions for tomorrow and Friday.
I love it. And a little in-studio action tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No Yankee game. I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you. Christian in Carmel.
Hello, Michael?
Yes, Christian.
How you doing, Mike? Don? I just had a quick question. Just curious, what do you think the Yankees do with Glaber at the end of the year? Do you think they move him at the deadline? I don't think they do, but I don't think they're willing to pay him.
If they're having a good season, they're not going to move him at the deadline. But at the end of the year, Christian, I think they'll say thank you for your service. Unless, you know, he takes a ridiculously small amount. I mean, he's going to want you know, $15 to $20 million a year. They're going to have to rearrange things. They're going to have to pay Soto if they want to get him back. So I think this is it. I mean, that's how they'll save money. They'll have one of their young, you know, maybe it's Peraza that comes up and is the second baseman. But or maybe you plug in, you know, DJ LeMahieu at second base. I think this is it for Gleyber. I really do. Like I said, he's going to deserve to make a lot of money. He's going to be 28 years old next year. And I don't think the Yankees are going to lock in for that long. I could be wrong, but that's just my take. I don't think they will. Let's go to Ryan in Rochester. Ryan.
Hey, Mike and Don. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you guys
Welcome
doing?
Welcome aboard, man.
What's up?
So, Mike, I actually met you back in 2016 as a kid, and the election was that year. And so I made you a Michael K. President sign and brought it to a Yankee Met game. And you spotted us and brought us up to the booth after the game. And I just want to say we met you, and you were awesome. You were really cool to meet. So I appreciate it, man. You're cool.
And I didn't win the election, Ryan.
I wish you did. but, hey, so my question is a Yankee one. What do you think they're going to do with Jason Dominguez when he gets back? Because, obviously, you know, you got Verdugo, Soto, Judge, and Stanton as a DH, so it kind of clogs up. And also, do you think they're going to keep Verdugo next year, then, if that's the case, if they bring back Soto?
I think with their young players, Ryan, I don't think they'll keep Verdugo. But for this year, if Stanton continues to hit at a decent rate, then I think Dominguez is going to go to the minor leagues and play in the minor leagues. They're not going to force it. I mean, there's really no place to put him. And if Verdugo has the year they think he's going to have, Soto's entrenched in right, Judge will be in center, Verdugo will be in left, and Stanton will be the DH. The only way I think you see Dominguez this year, because they're not going to have him on the bench, he's still really young, they'll just have him play at Scranton. But if Stanton falters or is on the IL, then you either DH Judge or Soto and you put Dominguez in center. But just because Dominguez had that great 8 or 9 games last year, that doesn't ensure that he's going to come back to the big leagues when he's healthy. It's going to be tough, but that's just the way it is. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Closing it up today. Just to recap, Michael, I'm with you. $250 million. I can sit on that secret as I'm eating crack crab down in the Bahamas. You know, that's not a problem. Like Eddie Murphy, the last scene from Eddie Murphy when they asked if he wanted a lobster or a crack crab, and he said, "Why not both?"
And your wife would be fine with it too, right, Danny?
If I told my wife, she said you should have got $500 million and done it a weekend. That's, you know. Leave it at that.
Okay.
Listen, a little hockey thing, then baseball. I own the Rangers. Has to happen more often, Don. I'm looking at these games. They play each other, but I own the fan for my whole life. And if you're in New York and you're under 40 years old, you have no idea what it was like. The Rangers were here forever. The Islanders showed up right away, had success. Dick Young had to pull the original kid from Long Island caricature. Mike Lupica actually just traveled out to the island to watch games and reported on him. It was the front page of the paper. And on this day, 40 years ago, where they beat them in the playoffs for the fourth straight year on a Game 5 overtime goal that the announcer, who I watched it on YouTube before, from Canadian Hockey, said, the greatest 10 minutes in the history of overtime hockey. It was every game was great. They need to go back to Patrick Division, where I play the Flyers 7 times, I play the Devils, I play the Rangers. These games are better than me watching the Kraken. I can do without the Kraken. I know, you know, blah, blah, blah. But this is what's great. And I hope the Islanders play the Rangers in the first round. The Islanders are not going to win, but what it would do for hockey in this town and the intensity would be great. And if the Rangers could survive it, they would have been better off because the intensity will be off the chart. Michael, as far as baseball and the injuries for the pitcher, just a question and already answer. Is it got anything to do with the removal of the sticky stuff? Because it's all about spin ratio. And if you're trying to get the same spin ratio and you're gripping the ball harder and harder, that's where you're putting the stress on these arms. It's not the fastball. It's the spin ratio on these sliders.
It's a combination, Danny.
It's a combination of everything. But baseball,
Colin Glass now said removing the sticky stuff is really hurting people's elbows.
Listen, it's human development. I always say to people, offensive linemen and defensive linemen have grown continuously. Tom Seaver was pitching against guys that weighed 160 pounds, couldn't hit a home run if it bounced. Now the ball is a Spalding, the players are jacked up, the bats are better, the strike zone is the size of a box. It's something has to happen where we go back to, and it'll never happen because baseball wants 7-6. They don't want 1-0, which 1-0 is equally as beautiful as far as I'm concerned. You know, and that's the shame because the hockey players are bigger, but it equals each other out. Baseball, Nobody looked like Giancarlo Stanton. I always tell people, Boog Powell was a normal-sized guy with a gut. He was the biggest guy when I was a kid. Oh, Boog Powell.
And Frank Howard. Frank Howard.
They were just big, lumbering dudes. They weren't built. They weren't cut.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, the bodies have changed, but pitchers' bodies have changed, too. Tom Seaver was a big man, but there are a lot of big pitchers as well. And also, they're throwing weighted balls, and from the time that they're 8 years old, they're training for velocity, so people are throwing harder.
Yeah, but the problem is that it's obviously hurting the pitchers. Like, the game is evolving into a stronger, faster game, and maybe the pitchers physically can't keep up. Because now they've got to throw harder. Harder, and he can do it.
Aaron Boone, according to Brian Hoke of MLB.com, said moving Volpe into the leadoff spot was more about Gleyber Torres, who said he senses Torres was pressing at the top. Volpe hitting leadoff, quote, could be something here long term, but we'll keep it fluid. So that's from Aaron. So as we summarized earlier, has something more to do with Gleyber. And then Ian Begley reporting, Julius Randle is listed out due to surgery. On the injury report, according to league sources, Randle had successful surgery on his right shoulder yesterday. The Knicks have said he'd be reevaluated in 5 months. So that's the latest, and now the greatest ENN will happen in just a couple of minutes.
Yay!
Stay right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday, all right? When it comes to this week, I'm talking about the Knicks and my Boston Celtics on TNT Thursday night. But here's the deal. Kind of don't love my Celtics. Nothing to play for anymore. Maybe you want to go with the New York Knicks. But you can bet whatever you want. Just head to FanDuel.com/Peter to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/Peter. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over and physically present in New York. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.